coming and just apologize in advance. I'm not present. I'm just filling in for Mr. Yoder tonight. So, we could just stand and have a moment of silence, please. And, perhaps think about those in Boston. Before we get started, are there any agenda modifications that we need to move down?
Mr. President, I do have an agenda modification, the personnel report. There are several administrative changes that that we are recommending. The first is moving Kim Anderson, Mrs. Kim Anderson, from a third grade teaching position at New Holland Elementary School to be the principal at Brecknock Elementary School. As a result of Mrs. Hilt voluntarily resigning her position to take a technology position in the district. Mrs. Anderson is here. If you would stand up, please, Kim. And congratulations to you. Second administrative change that I'd like to announce this evening, Mr. Patrick Winters will be transferring from the assistant principal role at the high school to the K, ladies and gentlemen, K to 12 virtual programs director, and will also be a 7 to 12 curriculum and instruction facilitator. Patrick's been with us for a number of years. Patrick, if you could stand up, if the face is familiar, but please take the applause anyway. Thank you. Final administrative change this evening. Elias Cox. Eli has been with us a year as the Dean of Students. He will be transferring into a full-time assistant principal position at the high school. We will not be fulfilling his role as the Dean. The Dean position will go unfilled. We will have a two-man team at our high school. Eli, if you could take a stand, please. Thank you very much. Congratulations. We are thrilled to make these recommendations. We are really, truly getting, we've got all the people on the bus, and now we're really getting people into the right seat on the bus. So we're excited for these changes in our admin team, and that is a part of the personnel report that you have in front of you. Thank you.
Excellent. Any comments? So look for a motion to approve the...
I have a couple of modifications as well. Also, on the amended personnel report, as you know, with some of the discussions that we've had over the past several months regarding the healthcare reform and this upcoming January 2014, employers are obligated to keep all part-time employees under 30 hours a week. As you know, with education, and depending on the needs of the student, it's becoming increasingly more and more difficult to be able to do that. If for some reason we would not be able to do that and an employee would find themselves in the exchange, the district could be liable for a penalty in excess of $600,000. With that in mind, you will also see on the personnel report three items for elimination of positions. The first would be our classroom assistants, where we eliminate their positions with the school district effective at the end of the 2012-13 school year. You also see the cafeteria assistants, where we're also eliminating their positions at the end of this school year, as well as the bus assistants. With that in mind, you will also see three action items this evening as well, where we will be contracting for these services through STS for our classroom and cafeteria assistants. You also see another approval of an agreement with STS for substitute teachers, and this is also in regards to the PPACA healthcare reform, strengthening the contract so that we comply with those regulations. And then the last would be a contract amendment with Brightbill Transportation Incorporated for them to supply us with the bus assistance. I would also like to add an additional action item. We received the contracts today for the Brecknock project, and the contracts have my name and position on the sign, but in order for me to do that, I'll need the board to authorize me to sign the construction contracts for the Brecknock project. So I'd like to add that as another action item.
Just a further comment regarding STS. We've used the STS system now for a couple of years for our substitute teachers. While there were some implementation concerns, it's going very well now. STS allows us a lot more freedom in the way we work with our employees. For example, our employees now who will be going under STS will be compensated for every minute work. They'll be able to work more time than we're allowed to, than we are allowed to have them work. So, for example, if in the cafeteria there's an extra mess or something that they're cooking takes longer for some whatever reason, in the past those folks didn't get paid. They either left the work undone, or they didn't get paid. And now we're going to be able to do that. There's some other benefits too. They'll be able to buy into health care, which they weren't able to do before. So there are a number of benefits to the STS system that I think the board should be aware of. That's all I have on STS. There's one final comment regarding the personnel report. We do have one of our teachers who's on that personnel report. I'm going to let Mr. Starr introduce Mr. Starry. Is that correct?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Zachary Starry. Zach's going to be our new seventh grade math teacher. We're going to be instituting a hybrid learning program next year across the middle school. And Zach proved himself to be a fine candidate, a very student-centered teacher. Currently, he's working at Donegal High School teaching geometry and electrical subpositions, also at Penfield. We are very pleased to have a very competitive field out there. 125 applicants. He rose to the top, along with Dr. Fulmer.
Favor
the agenda. Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Agenda's approved. Why don't we just go to citizens' comments first before we do the student presentation. Are there any, we've got a full audience today, any citizens' comments? Any others? I see. Okay, would you mind just stepping forward and stating your name and where you reside, please?
This is Hirsch at Ontario.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to make a comment? Yes, please, step forward.
This is good and special to be on this side of the agenda. I don't know if I could make it. I'm Paul's generation with those laptops. Wow, this is different. And I admit I don't attend many meetings, but that means you must be doing things right or we'd be here. Correct, Bob?
That works.
Yeah. Thank you is just two short words, but I want to really thank you. They have lots and lots of weight, is what I want to say, for your time and dedication, you on the Elanco board, for education here in the garden spot of the world. Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Is this okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is the first time I've ever read a prayer, but I felt I had to because I just didn't want to miss something. So let's talk with God, please. Our Heavenly Father, thanks a million for giving us each another day of living on your great planet Earth. Forgive us where we have failed you and come short this day. Thank you for the many I spy God moments of this day. God, we know this is a no waste of our time in bringing prayers and petitions to you. We thank you. We're asking for your divine knowledge and wisdom upon the Elanco board. Lord, empower each with right thinking and common sense for the issues that arise. Lord, may your spirit indwell those in administration as they lead many months in the school year. Lord, we are thankful for the teachers' dedication who give of themselves daily, elementary to junior and senior high. I understand it is hard work with all the distractions calling for one's attention. Thanks, God, for teachers' patience and their love. be with each student. I ask a blessing upon their body, soul, and spirit, and a desire to learn. Thank you, Lord, for all workers behind the scenes, maintenance for cleaning hallways and classrooms, cafe workers with wholesome meals, bus drivers, mechanics, aides in schoolrooms, and we could go on. Thanks for all. And yes, Lord, can't leave out Cross Connection and all those workers making huge differences in students' and families' lives. Thank you for the cross. Lord, we seek your guidance and protection for our schools, Brecknock, Blue Ball, New Holland, and here on this big campus. We seek guidance by you, God. And if you agree with this prayer, we all say in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. Okay, Student of the Month presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. It's a great day to be a Spartan. I wanted to take this opportunity to introduce our March Students of the Month. The trait of the month for March was that of selflessness. And if you look at the core beliefs of the Spartan way and what all that entails, servitude is at its core. So it is my pleasure tonight to introduce our two students that were identified as Students of the Month. The first is Caitlin Byron. Caitlin, if you want to go over to Dr. Hollister, he will give you a certificate and a medal. Caitlin resides in Denver with her parents, Bruce and Elaine Byron. So we welcome her tonight and congratulate her for being recognized as our Female Student of the Month. Our male student of the month was Andrew Schrantz. Andrew, if you would stand at this time. He is accompanied this evening with his parents, Heather and Andrew Schrantz, and they both reside in New Holland. So congratulations to Andrew as well. I'd just like to thank you also for recognizing the things that Eli and Patrick have done at the high school. It's been a pleasure to work with them. Thank you.
Just a comment to the students. I want to express my personal thanks for the hard work that you obviously are doing in our high school, the leadership that you're showing, even as students, whether you're elected or not. We're calling you out when we give you an award. We're calling you out to be leaders. And with that power, so to speak, comes greater responsibility. We're giving you power by putting your name on our agenda and acknowledging you. So you have almost more responsibility than you had when you walked in here. So I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but that's how it works. We're saying to you that we need you. We need you to continue to lead and continue to do a good job. From this point forward, you will always be an ambassador for our high school, for our community. So for whatever stage you end up walking across in the future and whatever you do, just remember that it started here and that we're proud of you and that you represent our community. Congratulations also to your families. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other citizens' comments? No special presentations. We approved the minutes for the consent agenda. Do we need to review any of the consent agenda? The treasurer's report, bills paid, we already approved that. Oh, I thought I did that. Oh, okay. So now I'll call for a motion to approve the consent agenda. Okay, so John and Heidi.
John and Jenny.
John and Jenny. Oops, sorry.
They're not interchangeable. As much as they try to be, they're not.
Thanks. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Consent agenda's passed. Okay. Action items. action items. We discussed all of those, right? There's nothing in the action items that we didn't discuss. The Bright Bill, STS. A motion to approve the action items?
I recommend that you do those one at a time, Mr. President.
Okay. The action items removed from the consent agenda?
There were none.
There were none. Okay. The approval of the agreement with the substitute teachers with STS? We have a first and a second. All approved?
Aye. I just wanted to thank you for that approval. Just wanted to follow up on what Dr. Hollister said. As you know, and for the audience, STS, since the school district is a governmental entity, we're under different rules than STS is. So that's why STS can provide those assistance that choose to go with or be employed by STS a lot more flexibility in their time, as well as other benefits, as Dr. Hollister alluded to. So I just wanted to clarify that as well.
Including unemployment in the summertime, which we don't do. So we think this is a real win for our employees, although they won't be our employees per se. There's a lot of benefits for those folks.
Any questions? Is there any opposition? Okay. A2 passes. A3, approval of the agreement. That's with the first one was for cafeteria and classroom assistance. A3 is for substitute teachers.
I move to accept the proposal for STS for the substitute teachers.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Approval for the amendment to the agreement with Bright Bell Transportation to provide the district with bus assistance. Can I ask a question about that first?
Yeah.
What did we do prior to Bright Bell providing the assistance?
We employed them ourselves. And again, we have some issues with some of the runs. We don't know which child was be transported. What we were going to have to do is have one assistant for the AM run, hire an additional assistant for the PM run. By doing this, we were able to give that one assistant the entire run. So,
I can't underscore enough the danger of our assistants going over their time. And they know that. And so what I'm afraid is happening is they put in the time and they don't record it. And that's not fair to them. In this case, a bus assistant, a bus breaks down or a bus is in an accident, we're automatically over that number. And it can get the district in a whole lot of trouble regarding health care and the Obamacare plan that's out there. And so that is really the impetus of why we looked at alternatives.
I might also add, it's not legal for them to just donate their time either.
No,
even
no,
if they
want
to be nice,
no.
That's not legal either.
They cannot do that. No, and I'm sure some are. And that's, God bless them, and we appreciate that, but that's, in the end, going to get us all in a lot of trouble.
I need to approve the budget for the Bright Bill Transportation STS.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. 8.5, authorization Chief of Finance, Mr. Ramsey, to sign for construction contracts for the Bright Line project. Any questions about those similar decisions? In motion?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Mr. Ramsey, you're approved. Reports. Is there a report for the tax collection?
We did not have a meeting this month. Our next meeting is June 12th. That ends my report.
That's my kind of report. IU report?
The IU 13 had their meeting on April 10th. The one highlight I would like to point out is We approved the appointment of Dr. Brian Barnhart as Executive Director for IU 13, effective August 2, 2013 through July 31, 2017. So Brian will be the new Executive Director of IU 13. Good man, the right person for the job. And we went through a strenuous, long period of interviews and background checks before we hired him, and he indeed will do a good job.
Paul, could you just give a synopsis of where he's from and to the audience?
Well, Brian was born in the Pittsburgh area, and he moved to this area after he graduated college, and he worked his way through a couple schools in the area, started out as a teacher, went into administration as a principal, went to work for the IU 13 about 6 years ago as the executive director of the IU 13, and he lives in the Millersville area, and I'm sorry, he lives in the Strasburg area. Thank you. Three children, and is trained well for the job.
Thank you.
I can tell you, Mr. Wenzel and board members, that the superintendent group was very pleased with this decision as well. Very pleased.
We approved three business service contracts, one early childhood and special education service contract, three instructional service contracts, one technology service contract, and six human resource service contracts. We had eight resignations, one retirement, one early retirement, one termination, 10 new hires, seven change of position and salary, and two leave of absences. And along with that, if you think that our system sometimes doesn't work, we had one paraprofessional who put in for vacation early in the year, which was denied because the paraprofessionals are needed in the classroom on the special needs classes because the kids depend on that paraprofessional to be there every day. And when she was not given the vacation time, she became sick. She was sick for the 3 weeks that she asked for vacation. And when she came back then, her doctor recommended that she did not get paid for her time off. So anytime you think that the system absolutely doesn't work, the IU didn't like it, her doctor didn't like it. That was not approved, and she was one of the people who will no longer be working at the IU 13. So the system does work sometimes, most of the time, actually. And that ends my report, unless somebody has a question.
No questions. CTC report?
That is actually me tonight. I'm the alternate for the CTC for Mrs. Redmond, and this is the first that I've been called on to fulfill that duty. So it was a jam-packed meeting. You get dinner with this meeting, which I was like, it was very delicious. After that, there was a committee meeting, then an executive session, then the public meeting, then another executive session, and then I was thankful that Mrs. Redmond serves on the CTC committee. So I'm just going to hit a couple of the highlights. Their director of finance, Tom Bigelow, he is retiring after 35 years of service, which is very impressive. So he was giving a little farewell talk. The serving current assistant will take his position. I think that's Keith Stahlsfuss. And they did hire a new assistant finance director, one out of four very qualified applicants. They're very pleased. I would love to tell you her name at this time, but I left all my notes on the conference table at the CTC because I was so overwhelmed with the meal and everybody. And it was right before our meeting was actually March 28th, right before Easter vacation. And I just decided not to pursue trying to get those little notes. So this is kind of a memory thing. So, Keith, do you know the name of the current assistant?
No, I do not. They're not
Notice
sure.
Notice how I love to put him on the spot.
Sorry.
It's not
yeah,
your responsibility
no.
to know that.
I've not heard that.
She's very qualified, and I'm sure you'll hear her name sometime. The Brownstown renovations are 50% complete, and I don't know, the board, when we toured there, was it 2 years ago? And remember how they showed us some of the improvements they were going to make? I remember the bathroom stood out as really needing an overhaul, and they're done, and they look wonderful. So they're halfway through with that big project. Enrollment is up significantly. It sounds like a lot of positive things, which should not be a surprise. They're working towards adding new programs. They talked about the physical therapy assistant program that they're working towards. They're also talking about starting a cabinetry program, which would be like millwork, furniture making, and such. And they're still, the LPN program is exciting. In fact, I have a nephew that's looking to do that next year, so he's very excited about that. CO, which is the Council on Occupational Education, visited and actually cited four things that they needed to improve, but they felt like the visit was very positive, and they're working to correct those four things. And apparently this CO is very important. I had not heard of this before, but it's very tied to financial aid grants, and I guess it being accredited, it's just a big deal. So that visit happened. And lastly, the Green Home is being built. It should be ready by May 31st. And I believe, do they always put that in the Parade of Homes? Does somebody know that? Is that a... Deb! Do they? Can you say?
In years past.
Yeah. I just don't know when the... I was hoping Mr. Yoder would be here so that I could say to the realtor, and he'd be like, yeah. So he's not. Anyway, it is going to list at $330,000. So, that concludes my report. Unless there's any questions, and if there are questions, I will try to answer them. Thank you.
I just have a question about CTC in general. Is there a national organization that evaluates and accreditates and keeps statistics on CTC programs? Is that a national, like we call it the CTC, is other districts across the state and country, are their vocational programs called CTC, and are they monitored by the same
group? Yes. Yeah. Now PDE they report to the Pennsylvania Department of Education, the CTC does, and they may have different names. There are some that maybe still use the old term voc-technical school. But they do have requirements just like we do. They answer to PDE, and they do have an audit group. The real test of the CTC, in my opinion, is the NOCTI test that the students take to demonstrate their skill level. And our CTC, Deb, you'll love this, our numbers have continued to climb in the last couple of years, at the number of students scoring extremely well on that. The number of passes and the number of high scores have both gone up in the last couple of years. So our CTC is a highly functioning group, and I think only getting better as each year passes.
Just answering my question. Any comments, any other questions about CTC? Mr. Wenzel, legislative report?
Yes, there are two bills on the governor's desk awaiting his signature. House Bill 2, which was passed by the Senate now, is a special ed funding commission funding formula bill, which I discussed in the past, which weighs factors and parameters of each category of disability. Also is Senate Bill 66, which was passed by the Senate in January. The House passed it. It deals with the State Tax Equalization Board, or STEB, I guess you call it, STEB. It moves it from an independent board to a division within the Department of Community and Economic Development. Now, STEB has the power and the authority to determine the market value of taxable real property in each school district and certify to the Department of Ed and to local school board directors of each district by July 1st. Now, this is where it gets a little complicated. Of each odd-numbered year, showing a list of the market value of taxable real property and assessed value for the county tax purposes, and by July 1st of the even-numbered year, the changes in the market value which result from the properties going on and off assessment rolls for taxation purposes, this board is required to immediately review any funding that shows market values increasing or decreasing by 10% or more in the previous year. Mr. Ramsey, can you explain what's to be gained from that?
Well, we have several of our funding sources from the state that rely on the market value aid ratio and those values, property values that are certified by STEB. And depending on how those rates increase or decrease could have a very dramatic change in what a district is able to receive. So the more accurate those numbers, the better off for those districts. You know, for example, if you take a look at the Act 1 index, districts that are above a 0.48 ratio have an adjusted index higher than what the base index is. If there's a huge adjustment downward where a district would go from, say, a 0.42 down to a 0.39, they would not get that additional adjustment, if you will. So the more accurate those numbers can be from STEB, you know, the better.
Any questions on that?
Are they going to, clean and green, anything in there about clean and green? So we're still not going to address that issue, right?
I have a couple questions. Will this replace assessments, and what happens if the STEP doesn't correlate with the assessment? Does the assessment then make itself correlate with the STEP finding?
I read nothing in the bill that would affect assessments.
No, I didn't. This all deals with market value. The assessments will be adjusted when the county does their reassessment to adjust to the market value. They just want to assure that the market values are accurate.
Okay. Other bills not on the governor's desk at this time is House Bill 930, which makes extensive changes to the Professional Educator Discipline Act. It expands to include educators holding private academic school certification and educators working for independent contractors in public school. What it does, it tightens up some of the reporting of any arrests or violations of the law of the employee, like within 72 hours, and the school entities entering into confidential settlement agreements that interfere with schools' mandatory reporting. It also eliminates that ability to do that, to hide something in effect, and makes it important to report it to within, I think it's 3 business days, to the district attorney any arrests of an employee. Dr. Hollister, would you like to make any comment on that?
No, it's really geared toward school districts not doing due diligence during an investigation and asking for someone to quit before they finish an investigation so that the person can move on and do harm somewhere else. Too often that happens. It doesn't happen here, but it does happen. And that's really, I think, what they're targeting with this piece. Interestingly, we don't get, if someone is arrested, there is really no report made to us per se, especially if it's outside of the state. Eventually that gets caught in clearances, but only if someone moves. So there are still loopholes in the system, theoretically.
The last one of interest is Senate Bill 114, which requires state agencies to provide information and data breaks involving personal information within 1 week. Also, the county, school district, or municipalities which have a breach of security of their system within 7 days and provide the DA information in the county within 3 business days after the discovery of the breach. Now, I heard something on the radio Friday. The Downingtown School District, something similar, they had $675,000 wired out of their bank, one of their banking accounts into a foreign bank, and they were lucky to get the money back, but as far as now, they don't know who did that, but the money is safely back in the Downingtown School District.
They haven't caught us then, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
we're trying new ways. I hadn't heard that, Tom.
I heard that at KYW on Friday. And the last one is...
We're not at that level yet, gang, but bank robbery is on the table at this point. Just so you know.
Along with the slot machine.
Yeah, right.
The last one, I'll leave you on a little bit of a humorous note here after all that serious. Senate Resolution 71 calls on the President and the Congress of the United States to fully fund all special education mandates imposed by federal laws or regulations upon a county, state,
municipal or local boards that provide educational services to citizens in the Commonwealth. And that concludes my report. That one's going nowhere.
Thank you, Mr. Council. Any questions? Legislative report? Superintendent's report?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a couple of items. A little bit more on the serious note, probably, which is appropriate given what happened in Boston today. But I will tell you this, at our last lockdown drill, we've had two now this year at New Holland Elementary School, it was reported back to me by one of our teachers who teaches the ESL students, the students of secondary language. When we went into the lockdown drill at New Holland, the two students who were very, very new to the country thought we were going into lockdown because of potential rebel army attacks and or roaming bands of thieves and criminals. Now, folks, I know we have our problems, and I know things are not what we want them to be, but we are not there, even despite the situation in Boston. So, you know, I do think we all need perspective once in a while on how good we have it here. These two little guys were afraid that the school was under attack by an army, not a single intruder. So, for what it's worth. Somewhat along those same lines, I was glad and proud to be able to offer an assembly here in partnership with Cross Connections. We had a speaker from Rachel's Challenge. Rachel was the first student killed at Columbine almost 20 years ago now. The speaker did a presentation here, an assembly here for our students, and then and performed for the banquet at Cross Connections in the evening. I'm just curious. I know I saw Jenny, Deb, you were there, Lisa, you were there. Anyone else who was there? Tom, you were there. I didn't see Tom, but anyone else? Anyone else? I thought the speaker did a phenomenal job and had a really good message. And the message was simple. Just look out for one another, you know? Be nice to one another. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but it matters a lot. I'm oversimplifying it, yeah, and obviously the speaker did a much better job in his presentation, but I thought it was worth noting. Also, sort of along the lines of sad news, and we did have a student pass away, Skylar Godshaw, a special needs student in our high school recently. But if there's a silver lining in the cloud, I would like to make comment on the staff that we have here at the high school. Two school vans, couldn't hold all of the teachers and assistants that attended that service, and that service was nearly 2 hours away. I think that speaks highly of the folks who work in our schools, speaks highly for the folks that take care of our kids, and it speaks highly for the administration who is finding those folks to work in our schools. So, again, while it's a tragedy and it is for the Godshaw family, I do think it's worth noting that that our care for our kids goes beyond the school day, and that's very obvious. And I do want to end on some really positive note. Just recently, four of our students were inducted as Eagle Scouts at Lady Our Lord's Church. The students from our high school are Malcolm Johnson in 11th grade, Benjamin Martin in 11th grade, Joshua Bard in 12th grade, and Michael Bressy in 11th grade, Eagle Scouts. Normally, one a year is a big deal. We have four. So we've got some good things going on in this community, and congratulations to those students and to their families. And that concludes my report.
Any announcements? Announcements? Okay. So, you have
motion to adjourn?
Yes, motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Adjourned. Thank you, everyone.